Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Bob and Tom Show presents the Bits and Pieces Podcast. This podcast is Chick McGee approved.
Thank you, Chickster. Welcome to Bits and Pieces. I'm Willie Griswold, joined by Jess, Jessica, and Jason. Today we have a very special guest, Joey Molinaro. How are you feeling about the month of May in Indy?
Man, it's not a better time to be alive. And I am so glad to be here. This is a legendary venue that I really hold close dear to my heart. It's hallowed ground for me. So to be here, and then in the month of May, I'm living.
Mm-hmm. I had to go to the track twice this weekend, and I went to Long's Donuts twice this weekend. And I had this realization, because like during COVID, I realized that I don't like baseball as much as I like just getting a sunburn while drinking a beer outside.
Yeah.
And I'm curious. I do love the race, but part of me is like, do I maybe just like an excuse to go to Long's a few times a week in May?
How long was the line?
The line on Saturday wasn't bad at all. It was 10 minutes in and
really?
Out. Yeah. No, sorry. Friday at like 9 a.m., 10 minutes in and out. And then Saturday was a little bit longer.
Right.
But man, it's totally worth it. I got to bring some to my grandma.
Good.
Who like grew up going to Long's. And yeah. She was all, it's just the best. Just the best. Oh, by the way, for our guest, Joey Molinaro is joining us. Joey, indie sports / comedy guy, generally. How would you introduce yourself?
Yeah, that's good. That'll work. That's one of my favorite things is kind of hearing how people like to figure out how to introduce me.
You know?
So it's a little bit of the you do the voice, the podcast, impressions, what's going on with you, man? That's kind of generally how it happens. So I'm like, no, it's fine. I know, I get it. But
you have a huge social media presence, right?
Yeah, larger than I had 5 years ago.
Right, so, there you go. Yeah. There you go. Yeah, uh-huh. I really enjoy your stuff.
Oh, thank you.
And knowing that you're a local guy, I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
We're glad to have you.
Thank you so much. Yeah, great to be here.
And you can find Joey at Instagram at Joey Molinaro, right?
Everywhere, my man.
Hell yeah. And
Instagram, Twitter.
Yeah. On that page, there's a link in the bio. If you click that, the top link is Joey Molinaro and Friends.
Yes.
It's next week, Thursday night at the Vogue. Tell us a little bit about that.
May 25th, night before Carb Day. Willie Griswold's going to be there.
Hell yeah.
Looking forward to it very much. I figured, hey, let's really try to foothold ourselves in to start race weekend, right?
Yeah.
So we'll go Thursday night. People are already revving it up. They're getting ready. Thursday night drinking's happening. Everybody knows carb day's the next day. So I said, yeah, I don't want to do anything on carb day. I don't want to do anything carb day night because everybody's going to be blasted, right? Everybody forget about it.
Yeah.
But I said, if we could do Thursday night and really say, hey, we're starting this thing for Friday all the way through the greatest spectacle. And that's what we're doing. And it's going to be kind of a variety hour type of feel. We're going to have stand up. We're going to have comedy. We're going to have interviews. Jack's Donuts. I don't know if that's a sponsor problem.
No, they're good.
Yeah,
they're
really good. Yeah.
They're sending 10 dozen boxes of donuts to the show.
Nice.
So,
by the way, it rules that in this podcast, we're 10 minutes in, two donut references already, baby.
Dude.
Well, wait. They're sending 10 dozen for the people just there
for the show. Yeah,
there's
so
there.
not for you on stage.
A little bit of both. I mean, there's 10 dozen go around for everybody.
How many guys do you bring it up on stage?
No, it's going to be audience can have
okay
some.
Audience too. Okay.
I mean, maybe if I show up to watch it and get entertained, you know, carb day eve,
and
I can enjoy donuts,
and there's a box of donuts, you know, passing around the
yeah
the
I think
boat.
That's going to be kind
crowd
of
surfing,
vibe.
Yeah.
Crowd surfing
crowd surfing donuts.
Well, because me and Ben, people know him as Benedict Polizzi, but
so
we call him
hot.
Ben. I know, right?
Sorry.
No.
So I'm just going to go right there and be that old lady. So odd.
It sucks just because I have for some reason.
Oh, honey, you're cute to it.
Oh, no, thank you. Well, I have, you know, I found it to be a good idea to pair myself kind of with him
in
my, you know, comedy entertainment career. So, it's really wasn't the smartest idea, I think, because he's just so good looking and I'm the ugly pale guy.
No, you're the funny one.
He's just a piece of meat. He's just a piece of meat.
People appreciate you. They just want him.
Yes, they do. They absolutely do.
He's a piece of spicy salami and you're the mortadella right next to him. Man.
That's it. That's
give it.
And that makes a good pairing.
Who's
you
the
know?
Simon? Who's the Garfunkel? That's the question.
That's a little, you know, I know those references, but I don't know.
Oh, bless
where I could go.
I'm so sorry, Joey.
I'd just be like throwing darts, man. I don't know.
I think it's more of a Hall and Oates situation here. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Joey's just a little bit older than my oldest daughter.
Oh,
so
really? How old
my
are
apologies.
You?
I'm 29. I'll be 30 in August.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You and Wilbert same age. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just turned 30. I'm losing my mind. It's the worst. You'll have fun
it's
though.
It's the worst. It's cool.
No, man.
Biggest breakdown of my life was 29 leading up to 30.
Oh.
Just buddy. Like you yourself
me,
were
myself,
having trouble
yeah,
handling
me,
it?
Me, myself. My dad called me. He goes, are you okay? And out of nowhere. It was 2 months before my 30th birthday. And my dad calls. He goes, are you okay? And I was like, no, not
oh, yeah.
Like that last year of being in your 20s, you think like, I'm going to live it up. It's going to be great. And it's not, because all you're doing is dreading turning 30. But as a woman, I'm now 42, and I just keep getting better with age. I get hotter. Uh-huh. I care less. It's the best.
Like a fine wine.
Like a fine
absolutely.
Wine, my friend.
See, what's weird for me, and I know Willie doesn't have this problem, is I remember when my dad turned 30.
Right.
And so, that's a weird thing that I'm dealing with, is I remember the 30th birthday party that my dad had.
Right.
You know, he was one of those that had me when he was like 22, and you know, and so I was an 8-year-old kid, babysat by my grandparents because my parents we're having this big bash for my dad turning 30. I'm like, holy cow, it's me.
But don't you feel that way? Like, your dad's still your age and you're still a kid.
Yes.
That's how I feel.
Exactly. Yeah, it is that weird thing of like, they're kind of frozen in time and now we're catching up to
them. I see that with the old church ladies. Like, you know, when I was a kid, they looked a certain age, but they're still that exact same age.
Sure.
And I know they've wilted the past 30 years.
how have you been wilted. 80 for 20 years? Yeah.
Yeah. It's like they still look the same.
I mean, growing up as a Catholic school kid, that's like half the teachers that I grew up with.
True.
You know, they're still, I still have a first grade teacher that she was ancient. That Tate taught me when I was in first grade. And now my friend has a kid that he's like taken there to like, you know, visit the school to see if they want her to go there. Same first grade teacher.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Ours is Mrs. Flynn. Man, she's been there forever. She had 10 kids. I don't know how, but she looks the exact same.
They're like that bacteria, that fungus that like, if the earth went into like a, you know, a apocalyptic state, they would somehow just survive.
Them and cockroaches,
exactly.
Man.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the fun part is, Joey, you grew up here in Indianapolis. You grew up listening to the Bob and Tom Show.
Oh, yeah.
You have to have some favorite characters, some go-to bits that you still laugh at today that you probably started laughing at when, what, you were 6 or 7?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. I mean, well, first of all, me and Ben always joke about it, just how, like, we had no idea what was going on when we were listening to it, when, you know, with our dads when we were 7 and 8 on the way to school, but just the laughs alone. When Bob and Tom would get into that rhythmic, we were like, oh, this is funny. This is good. You know what I mean? But then as I started getting older, obviously Donnie Baker, I mean, come on, you know, the big time. But then Kenny Tarmac is really... Kenny Tarmac is, and now that I've gotten older and, you know, me and my friends who also grew up listening to the show, they're kind of the business guy. They're becoming Kenny Tarmac. Like, and that's a really, really interesting phase of life is they start to get the you know, phrases of him when he's going to and from, whether it's ATL or PXH or whatever it is. And so that Kenny Tarmac now has got to be the go-to. We'll pull that up when we've been day drinking and we're like, dude, listen to this Kenny Tarmac bit. And our other friends are like, this guy's just like yelling into the phone.
I had a buddy with me, one of my like good friends, and now he's a business guy. And we were like trying to have a friend hang. And he was like, I can't do it this week, but we'll touch base later. We smoked weed before football practice. What do you mean touch base? Shut the hell up. We don't touch base.
Or the circle back.
Yeah, don't just say, I'm going to hit you up, man. Yeah.
You know when those, if now that's happening, that relationship's over. I'm sorry, Willie. Yeah. You're no longer friends.
If your friend texts you back and he's like, hey, what's your availability like in the third quarter? It's like, just f*** you. You know what? I was going to say suck my d***, but then I think, as if that would be more clean.
It's all right.
Well, I have a Kenny call here. How about that?
Okay.
Let me roll with this. All right, here we go.
Kenny call.
We have a phone call. Morning, Bob and Tom Show.
You can have two carry-ons.
Hello?
Yeah, hey, Bob and Tom.
Yeah.
Hi, it's Kenny Tarmac.
Hi, Kenny.
Hey, we just landed.
Uh-huh.
I'm at MCO today. Here's some news. Listen to my day I have to make now.
Uh-huh.
I have to make my connection. Right now, we're Airside 1, gate 16.
Uh-huh.
My connection?
Yeah.
Airside 4, gate 78.
Oh, how are you going to do it?
Yeah, do that math. Airside 1 plus airside 4 equals not going to make it today.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay, are you on your Bluetooth, Kenny?
That's a one-take trip. Yeah. Hey, my other phone is vibrating. Uh-huh. I keep it on vibrate so that way I won't annoy people. Hang on, I have to take this one. Okay. Hang on.
Oh, go ahead,
Kenny. Get Darmac. Hey, guy. Yeah, we just landed. Well, not yet, because we just landed.
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, let's do this then. You call Tobik, tell him I talked to Caldwell, then we'll brief Carmen. Okay, then fax Morris. I'll see Sully at the seminar, then we'll all do lunch before the conference call. Yeah, that's the only way to do it. Yeah, easy like a zucchini martini, Bob. Yeah, I'm on hold with Bob and Tom again.
Uh-huh. Kenny.
Yeah, they couldn't believe I have to go from airside 1 to airside 4.
Yeah, we were astonished.
I should take a puddle jumper to airside 4?
Uh-huh.
I know. They should give me 50 more sky miles just for taking the puddle jumper. Hey, Max, don't worry about Tobik. He's a teddy bear, okay? You tell him I said we've seen this movie before. Yeah. Yeah, just follow the flow chart and you'll be fine, guy.
Okay.
Hey, listen, I have an order on the other phone. I'm making magic here. Focus pocus, okay? I got to run. Okay. Oh, I'm back. Hey, God, is that guy long-winded. I tell you, I have to go from airside 1 today.
Yeah, we heard that.
Airside 4, I have to run now. I wish I had time to talk all day. I just don't have that kind of time today.
All right. Well, okay? good luck, Kenny.
Yeah, airside 4 is like miles away, and I'm at airside 1. That's gate 16.
Jeez.
Oh, my gosh. I'll probably lose 5 pounds on the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, this flight was my God.
What?
I don't believe it's him.
Uh-oh.
I'm looking up at first class now.
Uh-huh.
Is that him? Oh, it's Zig Ziglar. I gotta go.
Little Kenny T. We're here with Joey Molinaro. Joey, you host a podcast with Connor Daly.
I do.
Do you like doing that? And then real quick, just for me, when you guys were planning that podcast, did you ever plan on calling it The Daily Show, but spelling it D-A-L-Y?
Ooh.
Now I'm pissed because we did it. And now I want to call Dale Jr. because we go through Dirty Mo Media, and I want to say we're changing it to The Daily Show.
It's cool.
No, I'm just mad.
Yeah, it's
because
really
we went back and forth on a name forever. We did like 6 months worth of show, me and Connor, and like we didn't know when we had people trying to throw, and we just couldn't line up on anything. And then we just kind of settled on Speed Street. I mean, now compared to Daily Show, but yeah, no, dude, it's fun. I mean, it's like, again, a lot of indie themes here today, obviously, but just growing up indie kid and now hosting a show with the IndyCar driver and, you know, one of the more popular ones, obviously, with him. And, I just love it, dude. We hype up. We try to make IndyCar cool. That's our goal.
And he's a blast. He's such a good guy.
Yep.
And he's so easy to listen to, and you want to root for him. And obviously, we grew up knowing him and his dad and watched him grow up in the race scene, that it's like it's hard not to just always root for him.
Yeah. And sometimes people give me a hard time because like I'll be talking on another show or something and be like, who are you picking or who do you want to win? And they'll be like, wow, no Connor. And it's honestly, it's like, you know, when you have like a relative, like a brother or something, and it's just like, it's just, well, yeah, obviously I'm like rooting for Connor, but I didn't think I needed to state that.
Right, exactly.
So that's the deal. And Connor's the man. So, hey, we got the win in 10. That's what we're going. This is his 10th Indy 500 this year.
Oh.
And so I'm dubbing it for him. Hashtag win in 10. For him to take the checkered flag and drink the milk.
All right. I'm jumping on the bandwagon. I'm here for this. Yeah.
How much did you have to, like, how much did you realize, I don't know that much about racing, you know? Because to me, there's a lot out there that the average fan doesn't know.
For sure.
I assume you had to, you know, dig in. How did you manage that?
Yeah. I mean, from where I was like 3 or 4 years ago, though, to where I am now. Mm-hmm. Huge difference, you know what I mean? Like Kenny was saying, I mean, I puddle jumped over to my knowledge from where I was to where I am now.
Yeah.
Still ton to learn. I mean, still, you get around people who are like the real gearheads. I mean, you're like, man, I don't know. But dude, it's just constantly learning. But at the same time, it's like, that's the goal of the show, is to have Connor, who is the driver, who is the expert, who grew up in this, and then you have me, who just like fell in love with IndyCar, with the 500, with all of it, and I'm trying to bring in these people who are maybe a little intimidated because they don't know what a carburetor is or chassis, right? Or any of that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, it's all good. It's a super cool, really exciting sport and series, and there's a lot of great drivers and personalities, and I'm just trying to bring y'all in it. So it's a mix of like the experts, everybody who knows everything forever with Connor, and then me, everybody's like, oh, maybe I'll give it a shot. Like, I like Joey and Connor, and they're kind of like having fun talking about it.
Yeah. Nice. See, I mix. Like this because I grew up with watching the 500. I'm like, Florence Henderson, I will one day sing with you.
Right.
No, never going to do that. I thought that was achievable or something. Jim Neighbors. So I love the race and all the things that go around the 500.
Right.
All the drivers. But when it came down to the actual race, I'm like, my knowledge would be, well, they might have to pit soon.
Right, yeah.
Oh, look, he pitted. That's about it.
Go faster.
Oh, right. He didn't go well. Yeah. Something happened in the pit. I don't know what. Uh-huh. I don't know what he got in trouble for, but he did something.
Can you give us a couple key phrases that maybe if you're watching the race with your friends and you want them to think you know more than you really know? Is there like, if I'm watching a basketball game, a good line from you, dude, that is a great rebound. No, not goaltending. That's a terrible, like that kind of thing.
I remember when I like in college, I Googled that for football. Like we would go and watch Monday Night Football and I'd be like, God, I got to know what the hell I'm talking about if I'm going to get laid. Google this real quick. You know,
I did the same thing watching Keeping the Kardashians.
There you go. There you go. Yeah.
I actually made an encyclopedia for an ex-girlfriend, a football phrase, like a football glossary phase.
You need to publish that.
Of phrases. And I actually don't think I do because the relationship did not go well. So...
Yeah, Joey kind of fumbled the love there.
There it is. Yeah. We need the, need that. But a few of those phrases, Willie, I always like to go with, I just locked them up.
Nice.
Okay.
Is that when you're turning and you don't allow someone on the outside end?
Like, the brakes.
Okay.
Got it.
Yeah, he's locked them up right there. Okay. And then it's a little, I think he's dealing with a little understeer.
Oh, okay.
Understeered. The average person has no clue.
Not at all.
Yes.
I'm so excited.
But it sounds like you do.
It does.
Uh-huh. Well, understeer, locked them up. If you get those in the same phrase, then you're really cooking. People are like, put this guy on the pit stand.
You guys, I'm going to blow people's minds at this year's cookout. On that fire.
Hell yeah.
How about the whole, they need to adjust the downforce.
Oh, downforce big time. Slam the downforce. Absolutely just slam that home.
I'm going to put this in my notes.
Yes. Okay. Just talking about, well, you know, I'm really liking Connor's ride, but, you know, if they can just adjust the downforce to really give him some more grip, I think he'll find the speed. You know, always looking to find speed.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, they're all looking for it.
Yeah, everybody's looking for the speed.
There.
Come on.
Just figure it out.
Just crank up the downforce. Don't get any understeer or lock them up and you're good.
There we go.
Perfect.
I think that answered your question, Willie.
Are you, when you go to the race, and I'm sure it's changed as you've aged, do you like to sit in the stands? Are you an infield guy? Are you in a box maybe now, getting some AC going on?
No. I found the perfect mix, thanks to my father-in-law. And he's one of those guys who's been going in the same seats for over 30 years. And so I really, you know, just nudged my way in here. But I didn't grow up going to the race because I was always like playing travel baseball and like doing that didn't matter. And like, you know, I couldn't go because we were out of town or we were having a tournament or whatever, but we listened and whatnot. So I didn't start going to the race until I was working it for the cough button. Damn. forgot we have those. I didn't start going until I worked for the local ESPN affiliate in town. And I was there just to work it. And that's kind of like how I fell in love with it. But then now that I don't have to like technically work it on race day, we sit grandstand B right before turn one. And the very our backs are up against the fence. We're looking at the video board right before turn one at the end of the pit lane.
Yep.
And so we get to see the whole front stretch all the way into turn one, basically down to turn two.
All right.
And it's phenomenal. That's and it's awesome. It's the closest thing you're going to get to climate control without being in the suite.
That's what I was going
to
say. Yeah.
I can feel the chills on your arm as they're coming down to start the race.
That's awesome.
From that vantage point, right?
It's incredible. And Jim Cornelison singing Back Home Again in Indiana right there on the track right in front of us. Mm-hmm. Tier waterworks every year when that happens. So, I I've never been a snake pit guy. And sure. I respect the snake pit, mm-hmm. and I respect the infield at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. But man, that's like the closest thing I ever want to be to like a battle zone.
Yes.
Like you go in the snake pit and there's literally just bodies.
I couldn't handle someone standing close to me in a grocery line, let alone if they're drunker than me and there's, I wilt. I'm a wilting flower. It's too hot. I love being in there, but being next to someone else sweaty, I would just freak out. And I've never been in a snake pit. It just so much anxiety. I would cheer people on. Like you said, you go for it. Have some fun. But skin on skin everywhere.
I've only been in the infield. I've never been in the stands. I am such just like a speedway trash bag that way, man. Like just put me in there and let me be with the people.
Mm. That's great.
I mean, don't get me wrong. My first Indy 500 I actually went to, which was Marco Andretti's first year. So I was like, holy crap, it's going to be, you know, my first will be his first. But then that didn't happen.
Not so much.
I was passed out under a tree for like most of the race. Because I was, and I puked in front of like paramedics.
Did they give you to give you an IV or anything?
Nothing.
Or?
They just watched. And I like, puked. It was like pure yellow, which meant like I had nothing in there.
Oh, yeah.
Bile. And I like just stood up. And they saw me, and I just kept walking. Yeah. I wasn't even 21.
Yeah.
But
one of the paramedics going, 18, 18, watches Jess puke, 19.
She's still walking. She's fine.
I remember I was pregnant one time and I dropped off a group of friends, and I went back and picked up a group of friends, right? And so I had
wait a second. You were pregnant, so your friends made you be the DD?
Oh, 100%. Yes.
Good on you. That's
right.
Great.
Yeah. So I went, and I remember I was walking into the track, I delivered the first week of August, so I'm very pregnant, right? Mm-hmm. It's the end of May, and I'm walking into the track. And some track goer goes, shake what your mama gave you. And I turn around and say, I'll shake you, you stupid f-.
You were not having it.
No, I was not.
Yep.
I was not.
I was going to say, I had my wife DD for me last May when she was 5 months pregnant. And it did not go well either.
No, it usually doesn't.
No.
Just the day that Joey finds out that his wife is pregnant, gets a little tear in his eye. Like back home again in Indiana's playing.
Uh-huh.
And he's just like, baby, I love you. And he does the math in his head. And he's like, can you please give me a ride Memorial Day weekend?
Whole month of May. And then on top of it, we have the RV inside the track.
That rules, by the way.
Because of Mount Comfort RV. And we have the golf cart, thanks to my father-in-law. So she's DDing inside the track in our Margaritaville machine that we got in the golf cart. Yeah, so.
That's awesome.
So before you propose to your wife, okay, and she's a Purdue gal, is that right? That's your
Purdue
connection
cheerleader.
My grandma was a Purdue cheerleader. Little inside. Hey, we're basically related.
Not the same.
So when you were considering, you know, going further with this relationship, was it your father-in-law's connection to the race, go, you know what? I don't want to lose this.
You know, I proposed to my wife after like 8 months of dating, so I don't even think I knew her dad.
Wow. Oh, what?
No, okay. I'm just kidding. I asked his hand. I asked for, I asked his permission her hand. I didn't ask for his hand.
Right.
So I didn't even realize at the time because I was a late bloomer in the race fandom.
Yeah.
Jason, like I said, like I knew, like I followed it and I knew it, but like it's certainly not where I am now 6 years ago or whatever when I asked her to marry me. This is just like another bonus of like, oh, wow, my in-law has these seats?
Yeah,
great.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, 8 months, huh? That's
No, that's good. You got past the honeymoon of 6 months, so you had that 2 months to see what was real.
Yeah.
And before you guys got sick of each other.
I so proposed a year. Good.
Yeah,
year in.
That's pretty quick. Mm-hmm. I just like, I never wanted to, you know, so many people, Willie, you're probably experienced, like so many people our age, like I feel like they get to 30, they're like, who's the first person I see? Hey, you want to get married? You want to get a house? You want to have a baby? You want to never talk to our friends again?
I mean, my boyfriend and I have been dating for 15 years.
Whoa.
So,
okay.
8 months is fine. It's like when you go the other way, people start just nagging.
So you're
constantly
just hoping that he's listening right now?
And no, it's okay. No? We're totally fine. He is my boo thing or companion, whatever they want to let me check on a box. Life partner, opposite sex domestic partner.
Gotcha.
But
is
no,
that the word? Is that the phrase?
I don't know.
They're just roommates. Come on.
Yeah.
With benefits.
Hey now. That's good.
Joey, like, who needs to kill a spider? Danny.
If you're marrying into this big race family, I remember when I was a kid, I went with my school friend, the Flahertys. They took me to the race, and they had all these race day traditions. There was the guy making Bloody Marys for everybody, and then the ones without booze for the kids. Somebody else was cutting up the Indy Star, and each person would draw one or two cars out of there.
Oh, yeah.
And there was a big kind of pool to see who would win. What are your race day traditions?
Well, the drawing of the pool, that's one that my father-in-law does too.
So love
it's
it.
Just yeah,
still
I feel like
paper.
Yep. And everybody gets three.
Yep.
And then I forget the exact rules because, you know, race, you're always a little hazy race morning going into just take this, whatever.
Yeah.
But that's kind of what I'm excited about, Willie, is that now with my son, I'm gonna start forming my own traditions. And so I really don't have that pegged out yet because I'm waiting for the race weekend to get here with my boy.
Yeah.
To see what me and my wife want to do with our son. Like, I think we're going to, we've never been big parade folks, but I think we're going to take him to the parade this year downtown, have him do the whole thing, you know, get the pictures.
Sure.
And then we're going to figure it out race day morning. I have one tradition, which is great, is that my mother-in-law makes biscuits and gravy race day morning.
Yeah.
And that comes in handy big time.
Yeah.
And so she's slinging those things out at the motorhome, and it's much needed. Yeah, for sure.
That's last year, great. We did breakfast burritos.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Me, Noah, and Mark were all down there, and I made them the night before. So fun. He just finished an interview. We've been working for 2 hours, and we all just kind of sat around the pagoda.
Yeah.
Just tearing foil. I felt like a kid in a field trip. It was the best.
Yeah, we do that, too. We have a police escort that we meet downtown, and there's a group of people that have always gone, and I do the same thing. I make breakfast, and we sit in the parking lot, and we drink, and we just... Yeah, we get ready and take the police escort down. So it's awesome.
The escort, man, I'm so jealous.
Yeah, if you ever need an in, give me a call.
I have a guy that I know who's taking a helicopter this year.
Whoa. Ooh.
Okay, never mind.
You
I'm
know
out.
Jim Irsay?
Yeah, no, it's not him or Mike Pence. So that's, you know, I tell people that they're like, "How the hell do you know them?" But
right.
Apparently, like anybody can do it though.
Yeah, you can.
And I had no idea this was a thing.
Yeah,
it'll cost you know, like $5,000, obviously.
Just get your phone out, call 911. Don't do that.
No. Don't do that. We were talking about before the show, when I was a kid, obviously I grew up in Indianapolis, and our big race trade, we grew up we had a lake house, and so we would do the drawing with the newspaper and do all that, and there were kids everywhere, and we were in the lake, and we were boating, and all the things, and we'd listen to the race. But on the years that we were not, as we got older, we didn't go to the lake, and then it would be this thing where we weren't allowed to listen to the race, we weren't allowed to talk about the race. Nobody is exposed to any race coverage because at 6 p.m. on the local, I want to say it was the Channel 6 affiliate then, ABC, and my dad would want to watch the race in its entirety. And I'm not kidding you, without fail, my brother or I would wreck it. And he would say who it was that won the race every single
year.
Oh, I know, man. We wrecked it every single time.
Man.
Yeah, and to this day, one of us still will text our dad when the race is over, who won, just to wreck it still.
Keep it going. Yep, absolutely. Yeah.
That says a lot about your
relationship. We're horrible people.
Yeah. That's, now, I mean, like, one of the traditions, really, like I said, is I grew up, you know, playing, like, travel baseball and stuff Memorial Day weekend, so that was a big thing. So, you know, a tradition for me was just kind of getting my ass chewed by my dad on the way home from the game. You know, while we were listening to the race, I would try to catch who was in the lead, but he was just bitching at me for, you know, not striking out 14 batters in a game or something like that. So
get that mitt in the dirt.
Yeah, exactly. Get that elbow up, son. You know, that kind of thing.
Do I say keep your eye on the ball for no reason?
Yeah, exactly.
Is that why I say to keep your eye on the ball?
So that was what I grew up with, but now we're out of that. So I'm going to make sure my son doesn't have to put up with that.
Folks out there listening, tweet us your race day traditions. We'd love to hear them. Maybe we can give Joey and the boy some ideas.
There you go.
Yeah. Would love it.
Does it still seem like, you know, the Indy 500 is the biggest one-day event in the world still, right?
Yep.
Does it still feel like it's sort of underground in a way? And I say that regionally. Obviously, you know, there's always people from Ohio that come to every race in Illinois. Mm-hmm. But it still feels a little bit underground. Is that fair to say or no?
Oh, yeah.
I feel like the Kentucky Derby gets more press versus IndyCar, and it's like they're just horses. They're not even doing anything,
right? But I think that being from Indianapolis, it's a lot like when you find that favorite band, and then that band gets big, but you refuse to acknowledge that the band is getting big. You're like, no, this is mine. Mm-hmm. This isn't anybody else's. I'm not sharing it. I don't want anybody else to be a part of this. And that's the race. Like if you grew up here. It's like Indianapolis is the smallest, biggest city. Mm-hmm. And that the race just, I don't know, it's kind of like a feather in our cap, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, come over here. See how great we are, pal.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, and I was just at the Kentucky Derby at the beginning of the month. And so I did notice that. I was like, can we get like half the celebrities just to come on? I mean, just like maybe even a third of you to come to this.
Or wear your favorite cutoff denim jeans. That would be amazing.
So the vibe is different at the Derby?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
And but I tried to tell people, I was like, look, you know, because a few people like on the red carpet stuff, they were like, you're a big Indy 500 guy, right? And I was like, yeah. And they're like, tell us more about that. And I was like, well, you start your month of May down here in Louisville, getting all dressed up and fancy and feeling uncomfortable, blah, blah, blah. And then you end it in Indianapolis wearing and doing whatever the hell you want to do.
Yeah. Right?
It just doesn't matter.
You started with a fancy hat. Now you got a Garfield t-shirt with your arms cut off.
I'm like, how uncomfortable are you right now? They're like, pretty uncomfortable. I'm like, okay, well then just, envision yourself in jorts and a cutoff and American flag bandana on. And you're like the king when you wear that at the track.
I love counting how many Reggie Miller Pacers jerseys are worn on race day or any, retro. Whether it's a Smiths or something like that. It's
We just talked about this. I don't want to see any Reggie Miller jerseys in the infield. It's too dirty. It's too risky. I don't want to see Reggie Miller. I don't want to see a Larry Bird college jersey. Mm-hmm. I don't even want to see a Bill Murray Space Jam jersey. I want to see, you can get a Lance Stephenson Pacers jersey. Sure. Go for it.
Yeah.
Scott Pollard. Hell
Jeff
Foster. That's what we're talking about.
No one that was ever an all-star. Get out of here, right?
Antonio Davis would be cool. Any of the Davis boys.
That's a fun one. Or, you know what? Wear a Shaquille O'Neal jersey because he's playing inside the snake pit.
That's cool.
Right here. I got my Shaquille O'Neal hat. Nice, right
now. You bought a Shaquille O'Neal hat.
She loves Shaq.
So does my mom.
He will be my second husband. You guys laugh, but I'm telling you, I'm going to find my way to him in the snake pit, and he will fall in love.
You're the right size, because his wife is very short.
You're going to be fighting my mother. She loves Shaq, too, I swear.
Me and Mrs. Molinaro are going to go at it for Shaquille.
We were on a road trip one time, and we were doing, just trying to kill time with the different topical kind of, if you could do this. One of them that my dad or someone pitched was like, all right, you have to be handcuffed to somebody for 30 days. You don't ever get to take, you're with them for 30 days straight, handcuffed. Who are you picking? My mom, Shaq.
Yes.
Immediately.
Yes.
They're like, my dad was very concerned because, Shaq is huge and, is what it is. And my dad is just like a kind of a slender white man.
Right.
Maybe she just really likes Papa John pizza.
This is true.
Yeah. I mean, a month of
trying
that.
To get a hookup with the general.
The general.
Yeah. There you go.
Because you're Italian, and judging by his last name, Shaquille O'Neal, probably Irish, right? That O'Neal in there?
That's right. Yeah. Yes. Old Shaq O'Neal. Yes. throwing down some pints.
Oh, Seamus O'Neal. Down in Dublin with a Guinness.
But I was actually, you're mentioning the old races on ABC.
Yeah.
And so what I've been doing is going back in the mornings because my son likes to get up at 4 a.m. And an 8-month-old. Who knew?
Does he want my job? Because I hate it.
I'm ready. We're rip-roaring ready to go to be in studio early. But he likes to get up and I have to take him downstairs. And so during the month of May, I've been playing the old Indy 500 broadcasts.
Oh.
And which they're phenomenal and they're super fun to watch. But what I've been cracking up at is the driver intros, how they introduce the field of 33 on these ABC broadcasts in 91, 92. Literally a line from Paul Page the other day. I forget the driver, but he's like, he starts on the middle of row 5. He's the only driver of the field who wears an earring. Swear to God, that's actually one that he said.
They do a random fact,
and some of them are so cool. They're, Marty Wendretti, he starts on the outside of row 2, and he, when he's not on inside the car, he still enjoys speed, and it's like him on a jet ski, and it looks super cool.
Right.
This one guy just gets the only driver in the field wearing an earring. I'm like, that's all we could come up with?
Was there maybe a little judgment behind it? The only driver that wears an earring.
Wears an earring. Yeah. There's a little bit of a pause because Paul Page was pissed. And another one was when he's not on the car, he plays soccer to stay in shape. I'm like, dude, who is the producer at ABC comes up with this idea.
That just sounds like at the first day of summer camp when everybody has to say one special fact about them.
Yes. Uh-huh.
It's like, my name's Ryan. I'm from Rockford, Illinois, and I play soccer on the side.
Yeah, exactly.
Same. I got an earring.
But it goes to show you the difference between Indy 500 and the Kentucky Derby. Kentucky Derby, the show is before the race.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
To your point.
Yeah.
Whereas the stars of our event are, I mean, we already have our celebrity.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's 33 of them.
Yeah.
Whether they're big or not, they all of a sudden are for a day anyway.
In a month.
Right.
Yeah,
for a month. Yeah, for a month.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, these guys, and it's like, it's cool to see like how much even like, you know, the Unsers, you know, all the Andretti's, you know, Foyt, obviously, anybody, all these names, these powerful, popular names, you know, and they just, until they're old and gray, man, they come around and everybody's like, holy cow, it's, you know, Al Unser or A.J. Foyt. And it's really, really cool, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I loved Ari Leindike in elementary school because it was the year Tony Stewart raced in the Indy 500 for the first year.
Yeah.
So everyone in our class is picking Tony, and I'm like, because he's from Rushville.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go with Ari. And I think he won that year. Actually, I don't remember. But the next year I went with Ari Leindike, and he did win because there was a rain delay. So
he
I remember
won 90
this.
90 and 93, I think, was Ari
Leindike? We had to have the radio broadcast on in school because it kept getting delayed. So Monday they finished the race.
I remember this.
And Ari Leindike won. I was like, woohoo. But that was a totally different. What was I talking about? Oh, yeah.
Tony Stewart.
But it made my day when I got to have a Leindike sandwich. I got a photo with Ari and his son, Ari Jr. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm losing my mind. Because, huge celebrities. And I'm like,
The Bachelor, right? The Ari Leindike Jr.?
Yeah.
He's one of the Bachelors?
I literally was like, what restaurant has an Ari Leindike sandwich?
I was kind of thinking that, too.
I was really interested in the food.
And it was delightful because I was into him and his dad. I was like, this is awesome.
Nice.
That's what's so great about these guys. They're huge names in the racing community. They're giant.
Uh-huh.
And for me, they're just Hoosiers. And they're not. They're not Hoosiers at all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, for me, like, no, these are neighbors. These are people. And that's the kind of community that the race, that the Indy 500 creates, is that we're all in this. We're all Hoosiers. We're all together. Whether you're on the track or in the infield or in the stands, we are in this together. And it's a very unifying thing. And I might cry.
Don't lock up, Jess.
Yeah. Hey, you're locking them up over there. Come on.
If we could put a bow on the Indy 500 thing here, how amazing of a full circle is that Letterman had the biggest platform in nighttime TV and would talk about it and then became an owner. I'm like, and he's our Hoosier.
Yeah.
You know,
100%.
Just the best.
And he started out as a pit reporter and he tells that story about how he went and tried to track down Mario Andretti after he crashed out and like, I think it was 79 or something, or 78, whatever. And Letterman always says how he didn't ask him, like, what happened. The most important question that you're supposed to ask, he forgot to ask Mario. But that clip's still out there. And, full circle, Letterman putting on. Love it.
Yeah, it's the best. Well, let's get into Joey. Let's get to know Joey a little bit better here.
Yeah. Cool. Voices. What are your favorite voices to do? That's your main thing on your social media, I believe.
Yes and no. I mean, when people, I think, come across me online or see me out and about, like, that is one of the main things that people will say is about that. But also, you know, I just try to, like, to do it all, you know? I just want to I want to be Joey. I don't want to be the voice guy. Because Caliendo, actually, friend of the Bob Tom Show, this building, he took me under his wing very early when I started kind of getting a following and everything. And he's like, hey, man, for every one impression video that you do four other original sketches. And I was like, he's just like, trust me, he's like, look, I've had a great career, you know, I've been very lucky, people would kill to have the career that I've had, he would say, you know. And but he's like, it's just hard to break out of once you're the impression guy, then that's where you know. So I was like, yeah, for sure. So that's something that I take a lot of pride in, is just making sure that, like, I will throw in those characters because I like to just have it as like a feather in the cap. But then I like to do other stuff too. You know?
And you know what? If there's anybody to take advice from, he is a method guy. And I wouldn't be surprised if he had it on paper and an outline and the whole thing.
Yeah.
And it has served him. So that's awesome. So between Caliendo here and then, like you said, Kenny Tarmack and other voices here at the Bob and Tom Show, what were your other favorites here?
From Bob and Tom?
Yeah.
Oof.
Or maybe even skits, like things that we did.
I always enjoyed when Tom Wilson.
Yeah.
When when he would be on.
He did those prank calls a lot when we were. Yeah, right.
The
Tom Mabe.
It's Tom Wilson.
Tom Wilson. I'm sorry.
Tom Wilson.
Biff from Back to the Future.
You're right. I'm sorry.
Oh, is that who you're singing that song about Adam Sandler?
You're saying Tim Wilson.
Tim Wilson.
Yeah,
it's okay. Every listener right now is yelling at
me. No, I'm so sorry, God.
That's okay.
Rest in peace, obviously.
Yes. No, of course.
No worries.
Most respect.
We all literally thought yelling someone.
Well, because there is a guy named Tom Wilson.
Right, yeah.
And I thought Tom Babes.
But
I thought.
Anytime Tim would come on and his bit about Steve Spurrier and college football always would get me.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, well, he does the FSU coach, Bobby. Why can't I think of his last
name? Bobby Bowden.
Bit, yeah. And you do a great Nick Saban.
Yeah.
That almost seems like it's kind of a niche impression.
Yeah.
Like you won't turn
That's what's so weird is that like I would think that too.
Mm-hmm.
But that is like the one that started getting people to follow me. And then that is the one that people still closely associate it with. I'm like, I know Saban's big, but like he's not that big.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
I mean...
I feel like he is.
Especially
actually.
Even now, with all the Aflac commercials he's on.
every, but he's kind of like the Darth Vader of college football.
Yes.
Yeah.
I kind of don't even know who he is.
That's true.
See?
How about that?
Yeah, no, but that's all right.
Tim Wilson, you know, I always loved his, like the NASCAR song, like having the baby in the stands, the Dale mm-hmm. Darrell.
Yeah,
Dale Darrell, Walter Pritchard, Petty, Rusty, Austin Bill, Irvin Gordon, Earnhardt Smith, Johnson Jr. It was like such a big deal, like that one and the other one about Jeff Gordon's car.
Yeah.
The first baseball game ever played.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's...
Dan St. Paul.
Yeah, Dan St. Paul. That's awesome. Yeah.
That one is always a killer.
Yeah.
That gets me. The Christmas Around the World, or the Christmas Wish
Sean
List.
Sean Morey.
Yeah.
That's a great bit. I love that bit.
That's so good. I'm from Quebec. I want a stick.
Yeah.
That's so good.
Yeah.
Just all these. Floyd. Love when Floyd calls
Floyd the
in.
Trucker is great. Floyd, my favorite thing that Floyd does is sometimes he'll take a breath, and it sounds like Tony Soprano taking a breath.
It does.
It always makes me laugh.
Well, they are kind of the king.
And by the way, real quick, just to kind of take this back to Caliendo a little bit, he didn't like this, and I'm sure you won't appreciate it either. I don't think it'll help you out, but Frank was talking about doing some segments as himself, not doing a character.
Yeah.
When we were doing the Super Bowl out in Phoenix, and I told him we can do a segment for you where you won't do a character, and we're going to call it "Let Me Be Frank." And you guys liked it a lot more than he didn't crack a smile.
Yeah. I think that was a rough week for Frank.
I mean, it doesn't matter. I was just being silly, but
that's
I think it's great.
Yeah. I'm very good at names, you guys. I'm very good at.
I was going to say the Dale Show. Let me be Frank. This is fantastic. I'm going to have to call you up for baby number two. Let's see if you can. wife's throwing some stuff out. Let's give Willie a call. So
what do you think about Simon and Garfunkel?
Name the kid Seven, you know, and run that by your wife.
See, there's a few things that like I was really looking forward to about the whole process of becoming a father, besides like the obvious ones, right? And one of them was pitching the name Seven.
Right.
Just the pitch. To her to see what she would react with.
Yeah.
And of course, it got shot down in about 0.8 seconds. And it wasn't even like an actual, like, no, it was just a look.
You know? Is she a Seinfeld fan?
No.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So she wasn't getting it, you know? So she was so pissed because I remember I was like, I can't wait till I'm holding my baby boy in my arms. And I could do like Vito Corleone and Godfather 2 and be like, Frankie, your father loves you very, very much. And she was like, not everything's a bit. Not everything has to be from a movie.
Yeah.
Like, you can just have it. And I'm like, no, but like, it'll be, you know, cool. She's like, no. I was like, when you're napping, then she gave up. So I had that moment and it was great.
If it does make you guys feel better, I do have a little sister that I call Seven, my sister Heart. But that's just because she's my dad's seventh kid.
Right.
So it works out pretty easy.
Yeah.
So you're just going straight by the numerical order. You threw names out the window.
Hey, game seven.
We're going over to Forrest's house for Christmas.
Yeah,
six and seven will be there.
Yeah. Seventh heaven. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. 7-Eleven. We have a good time.
You know what, though? As your kids get older, the my favorite thing is my kids are 17 and 19. And so what happens now is we'll be watching old movies together, and they'll go, oh my gosh, that's not yours? You got that from this movie?
Yeah.
So we just watched Tommy Boy the other day, and... there's a part where they...
Mom, you didn't invent Fat Guy in a Little Coat?
That one killed for a really long time, okay? No, but there's a part where he backs up at the gas station and knocks the door off.
Uh-huh.
And when he comes back and he opens the door and the door falls off, he goes, "What'd you do?"
Yeah.
And yep. I have done that their entire lives. And my son turned around and he goes, "Are you serious? You didn't write that?" I was like, no, I didn't.
Farley.
Yeah, I didn't.
Do I look like a writer?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've fallen from that pedestal a lot lately, so just be prepared.
Oh, yeah.
Your kids are going to be really bummed when they find out that you didn't write the 7 words you can't say on television.
Joey, I know you've done some modern Seinfeld type
skits,
right? Mm-hmm. I'm surprised someone hasn't like full on done it. So listen, we're going to rip off Seinfeld and do modern day takes on how Seinfeld would do them.
Yeah.
And I say that to say, why don't you just do it?
I would love to. I think that's so fun to think about those kind of ways, whether it's the double texter or the FaceTime over the call. Because honestly, Seinfeld trained my brain to think in those ways, you know?
Yep.
But it's almost like, I think that show is just such like a hallowed thing. It's almost like if somebody wanted to make a prequel to The Godfather or something, you know, like it would just, people would be like, we kind of leave that over there.
No, come on. I want to see the God great grandfather. I would have hit that right. That would have been killer. All right. Sorry. Do your thing. My bad.
No, but, again, that's just like I try to mix those in. It's just little sprinkles, Jason.
Yeah.
You know what
I mean?
Yeah.
Like
we'll throw in a Collinsworth every now and then, but then all of a sudden we'll have the modern Seinfeld and like the wedding bits and wedding bar conversations.
By the way, those are so funny.
So good.
Thank you.
Yes.
They're
Thank
perfect.
You. But it's just like one of the things that really changed my life and how I think about things, and I'm sure all of you have kind of in some way come across it, is when I heard the line or the phrase about how like comedy is just the art of observation.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I started thinking about that, I was like, yes, that's why when I'm at a wedding, I'm not thinking about how happy I am for the bride and the groom. I'm thinking about how terrible this conversation is going to be at the bar that I can then flip into a bit.
Material.
Or a sketch or something like that, you know? And so that was a real game changer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the videos that you and Ben do are so funny. I also like The Office, the guys that you do, Johnson and who else?
Johnson and Schmitty.
Dude, I mean, it's these guys, they're, no offense, insufferable people. It's like the biggest puns.
Yes.
It's the two funniest guys at The Office that they think they're the funniest.
That everybody hates.
Exactly.
Yes.
But you guys, you like hit it perfectly.
Mm-hmm. Well, that actually, I mean, it's again, it's all comes from real life stuff. So there's, sorry to say, but there's some people out there that I used to work with that you can probably see yourself in a few of those.
You post one of those awkward wedding interaction videos and some guy sees it. I was at a wedding with Joey last weekend.
Yeah, that happens. Like people now, they'll come up to you and they'll be like, I don't know if I want to, because then you're gonna, and I'm like, you don't know, but you already are right now. Follow me on Instagram and you'll see it next to so.
And by the way, if you ever do that Seinfeld thing, I'm kind of chubby. I'll be George Polizzi. He's real tall and he's got crazy hair. He can be Kramer.
He's done some Kramer before.
I think I'm your Seinfeld.
You do? Yeah.
Jason's been training for this his entire life.
I was going to say.
My wife and I,
we call each other Jerry. Like everything is Jerry in our house.
So I'll just be the Larry David. You be the Seinfeld. I'll write it. You know, and then you can do that. And then,
I don't have to do much. Jerry was just the guy. It was the other three that did all the great stuff.
He reacted.
That.
Yeah.
He would be a great George.
You know
Throw
what?
Some glasses on you.
I'm in my head. Now I kind of want to be Newman. I think that'd be a little more fun. I want to yell a little bit more. I want to get mad at Jerry. But yeah, I am in my head about every decision I've ever made. So that there's a little bit of George shining through.
There
right
really
there.
Is.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Oh, that's a good idea. I like it.
Okay. I know you don't want to focus on the impressions, but you're damn good at a lot of
Thank
them.
You.
So
Thank you.
You're Patrick Mahomes. could you bring that one out? Because that's a more recent one. And obviously he is huge. And I've seen no one do an impression of him.
Well, it's funny. So I was at the Kentucky Derby, like I said, and Patrick was there on the red carpet.
He was.
Him and his wife were there. His brother was not there because he's in a whole different situation.
Yes. Right.
He's in a much more unfortunate situation right now.
Could have been fun. Could have got your ass bit. I don't know.
But so I was like, I have to do everything I can to get Mahomes and to do the Mahomes mm-hmm. in front of Mahomes. Mm-hmm. And he took the photos, and they immediately beelined off the red carpet. But it wasn't for a lack of effort. I was screaming at him, man. Yeah. I was like, Patrick! Patrick, judge my impression! Patrick! and I was, I mean, I was that guy on the red carpet. And I think he turned around and like kind of looked, but he probably saw me and, you know, was an absolute no-go. Okay. But,
I was going to say, yeah. Can you yell the impression? So he'd be like, am I talking to myself? What's going on?
Yeah, maybe tried,
his wife turns around.
I haven't
like, oh.
tried the yell, but because... I don't know if I've ever really heard him yell. You know, he's not a big yeller.
He just has that. Just have to do the voice.
He hits that frequency, and he just stays on it. Right? It's just this.
Yeah, everybody says it's Kermit, but it's
yeah,
not.
It's a little bit. But
I mean, the only reason it's Kermit is because it's like up here, but then you got the gravel that you got to think about. So it's like he keeps fluctuating like from up and down. Right? So when he's like talking to everybody, he's like, "I'm really here, happy to be here in like the Bob and Tom studio." And I've been listening to the show my whole life, and like even though I'm not from Indiana, and so I know and respect what you guys do, and yeah, just really ready, excited to go back to Kansas City and hopefully win on the Super Bowl.
So Patrick, what do you have against so periods and sentences?
Well, I mean, I'm just so used to like, I mean, you know, calling the plays in the huddle, and I got Travis Kelce over there. I know he's not really good with grammar or English, so I just don't need to focus on that really. And I just try to get it out as quickly as I can so he can score more points.
Yeah. He goes fast.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
Every conversation is a run pass option play. He's got to keep all the options open and keep looking around.
That's right, because then Collinsworth's like, no, you just look at Patrick Mahomes. Here's a guy that every play is a run pass option for him. I mean, he could be going to his right, going to pass, and then he could run, or he could be looking to run, and then he's going to do a behind the back pass.
It's very visual. Like, I don't know if it's part of the impression, but for Mahomes, you look very stressed out as you do it. And Chris Collinsworth, it looks like he just had three beers and he's chilling on a beach.
Yeah. Chris Collinsworth, man, the coolest dude in the building, right?
Yeah.
It's like Matthew McConaughey and then Chris Collinsworth. They're just always. Chris Collinsworth is sliding in, and that's why I did a recent one with him, and I was like talking about how, you know, he couldn't watch Sunday Night Football because he just slides in, and like you're worried about him, like your wife falling in love with him, you know? Just because he's so slick and smooth, and as soon as he comes onto the screen, he's got the smile. And he's just there to be your best friend in your living room for 3 hours.
And that's what I love about him, because I watch Sunday Night Football every week. And you can feel his smile coming through
yes,
the TV.
Yes, yeah, exactly,
and
for
you,
sure.
You nailed it, yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, and he's been... He's been nothing but great to me. Like he's one of those dudes. I know that people ask like Caliendo a lot. Is like, so have you met like the people that you do impressions mm-hmm. of? Like, what do they think? And Caliendo has that like famous story about how like Madden did not was not a fan, you know, for a while. But Collinsworth has always been great. You know, he's quote tweeted me and stuff. And my friend Marcus Bailey, who plays for the Bengals, he's a Purdue guy. Purdue guy.
Linebacker.
He was a 7th-round pick, and he would have been a higher pick. I'm getting off on a tangent, but he tore his ACL. He's come off an injury. Anyways, but he's been on the team for 3 or 4 years now, and so when they were doing this, when they're out in the Super Bowl, when the Bengals were in the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, Collinsworth was on the call for NBC, and so he'd come out to their practice and whatnot. And Marcus said he went up to him after practice, and he's like, hey, Chris. He's like, you know my guy Joey Molinaro? And Chris was like, yeah, see, the thing I love about Joey is he never makes it personal. It's all just in good fun. I was like, yes, exactly. Yes. I'm not attacking anybody. He's never mean-spirited. That's what he said. He's never mean-spirited. So it's, you know, we just have fun. But it's like a lot of people that I do, it's because I am such a fan, and I watch Sunday Night Football every week religiously. You know, different people that I've listened to or followed, that it's like I like to think for them, you know, for the way I see it, it's a sign of respect. It's like I follow your work so much that I've been able to kind of like get down little intricacies and everything like that.
Yeah.
So.
This is a very my dad question. Is there any voice that you love to do and people either don't get the reference or they don't think you're doing it as good as you think you're doing it?
Yeah, always. I mean, obviously, just like with comedy and everything, impressions and voices are so subjective. You know, the way that's something that Caliendo told me too is like people are going to hear it differently mm-hmm. no matter what. You know, you could be in a room and somebody, you do it, and there's two people that are like, that is spot on. And mm-hmm. there's somebody that's like, I kind of, but I don't know. And there's somebody that's like, fuck you, you suck. Don't ever do a voice again. I hope you die. You
that fourth guy like, should leave the party. That fourth guy is really mean.
Exactly.
He's mad at himself, not you.
I'm trying to think of ones that I really, really have fun doing that, that people are just going to like, eh. Not even eh, but well, there's one that I just can't get down. It's Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
God, it's like, it's so distinct, but I think because it's so distinct that it makes it more difficult in a way. Like, you want your voices to be distinct because then it's like, okay, I could get in Mahomes because he sounds that way. But with Peyton, man, you really got to nail it, you know? I'd say Tucker Carlson, maybe.
Yeah.
I like doing Tucker Carlson just because I like to write for Tucker Carlson, what I think Tucker Carlson would say.
Sure.
You know? And so some people find that really funny, but then some people don't.
I like his cadence that, because his voice is kind of high. Which, orange slices. Should we be giving them to our kids? Why are we giving them to our kids? Orange. Yeah. That's what
oh,
I like.
Oh, for that, sure.
It's yeah. quick. The cadence is quick.
Yeah. And at the pauses. End of sentences, he starts to tail off like this.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, gosh. I love that. Yeah.
Should they be listening to the Bob and Tom Show?
Yeah. Colin Cowherd's a little bit like that, too. You do a very good Colin Cowherd.
Yeah, he does. His cadence is very
specific. And your
specific.
Pauses are just perfect for him.
But that's another kind of niche. You know, the sports world definitely knows. But if you're not like a real huge sports fan or like sports media follower, you probably, you know, aren't picking up what Cowherd's doing.
Let's go to, back to one of your bits that I thought was great, and I barely knew who you were then. I mean, I knew you because
yeah,
kind of your intern, but I think this one might have popped before the Saban thing. And was your dad your baseball coach?
Yeah, okay. For a while. I mean, like, yeah, growing up. Yeah.
So the baseball coach, uh-huh. It's like a 3 or 4 minute piece.
Yeah.
It's basically he's pissed off. He's taking kids out kind of thing. Was that of your dad?
It's a mix of characters.
Okay.
A little bit of my dad, a little bit of other coaches that I had, a little bit of coaches that I've seen now that I'm not a kid anymore. You know, I kind of like take bits and pieces from each one of bits
that's
and pieces.
That's the show. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I said the name. I said it.
That's cool. You get one of Chick's Diet Pepsi's on the way out now.
Which is, speaking of Chick, so, and you mentioned it, Jason. Yeah, I don't know if you guys were aware, but I interned here when I was a senior in college. And I just sat in that room over there and just listened to the show and would send Tom just like my stupid 2016 jokes. And like, but it was great because I was like, holy cow, I get to be here. Right. I get to like, this is something that I can do is like be a part of a show and like write jokes and, you know, try to be funny. Anyways, but it was like my second day of interning and Spangle and Vibbert at the time were like showing me around and it was during a break and Chick was walking in the hallway. And I'm just
we
thinking,
know where I this know. Is
God,
going.
God bless you. I'm so sorry. I just want to apologize it, now.
You know, here I am. I'm just thinking, oh, that's Chick McGee. I've thing. Listened to him my whole life. Holy cow, this is great. You know, I'm an intern. I'm kind of part of the show.
We've all been there, Joey. Just for the record, we've all been there.
And so I go, hey, Mr. McGee, Joey Molinaro, nice to meet you. When I tell you he looked at me like I had six dicks growing out of my face. And Chris and Spangle just goes, yeah, we're just going to keep it going. Didn't even shake my hand.
No.
My version of that, I've told it before, but when I was a kid, I would come in to work with my dad before I went to school.
Uh-huh.
And when I was a kid, I knew Chick was a fan of formerly the Washington Redskins.
Yes.
But I didn't totally get sports entirely. And on watching news with my dad before coming to work, I saw that the Red Sox had won in baseball.
Oh.
And so I came in and I thought I had some news for the sports guy. I thought it was his favorite team. And I go, hey, Chick, did you see that? Your Red Sox won last night. He just goes, oh.
And just walks out.
That was the whole interaction. I thought he hated me, man. So fun. You have a million of those, yeah?
I'm going to skip mine. I'm going to skip my Chick stories.
That's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay.
And I'm pretty tight with Chick.
You are.
And oddly, or I guess coincidentally, I didn't have one of those with him.
No, he loved you out of the gate.
He kind of did. Yeah, and I can't explain it. I didn't want anything,
I can tell you, it's you. And Oreo Jones.
Oh, yeah,
those
yeah.
Are, you're the only two interns he ever liked. Yeah. Well, and me, but that's
right.
Story.
That's a whole different. Yeah.
Good for you, man. That's great, because I'll never forget that whole sequence. I mean, it's ingrained in my head.
He would probably be nice today.
Looked at my hand. Looked at me. and Spangle drug me away.
Yeah. I think some of it, he's given you a story that.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, yeah. Now it's great. We all have yeah. yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
that was
sure.
2016, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
It was like the day after Christy first retired and then came back or whatever the hell.
She was having a baby. Yeah. You started as an intern. I started in sales, basically.
January of 16?
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That was like the worst.
Oh, God, dude. You were here during NAMM. Did
you have... There was napalm
Bob
in the
had just
green
signed,
room.
You know, he hung it up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep.
Christy, like I said, a couple days before I was starting, I think the day before, and I was like, oh, yeah.
God bless you.
Scared it off. Scared it off.
Yeah, that was rough.
Yeah.
But it was.
Got anything funny, Joey?
Sorry, we'll pivot over here. Yeah, a lot of years a guy that just doesn't know when to stop talking about the dark days.
Very good.
A lot of podcasts like to end on a high note. Not us. We go real low. We go. It's like driving in from Vail, Colorado, down to Denver. You're going down, baby.
Yep.
You're going down the mountain. Engage the air brakes.
Yeah, exactly. Don't even have the foot on the gas. Yep.
So, Joe, do you have a sort of a playbook you're following of your own, not somebody else's, but of where you want to go? You're just kind of letting it happen in the present.
Yeah, kind of a little bit of both, I think. You know, I kind of look at it like the day by day, but then also having like kind of the longer picture, if you will. So, you know, day by day, just trying to keep putting out, you know, funny videos, funny sketches, maybe working on different impressions or things to add to the arsenal. Then with the long term, hopefully to, you know, have people come see me live like we're going to do at the Vogue on May 25th. And have that there, and you know, there's something I haven't quite figured out, but there's like a tour or some sort of show that I want to do around like the college football season or professional football.
Nice.
You know, there's something there that really I think whether it's a
tailgate tour,
exactly, something like that.
Damn, Jessica, that's a great name.
That's a great name.
Well, thank you.
Absolutely. So something like that, at least for the very near future. But then I think at the end of the day, it's just like. 10 years. I literally remember after my first day at Bob and Tom, when I was just emailing into the abyss of nothingness jokes. I was like, "Wow!" I put on Facebook. I was like, "If I can do this for a living, I'll know I made it." And so I think even when I'm 50 or 60, hopefully, if I'm still just able to get behind a mic or write things that hopefully will make people laugh or have fun. That's it.
That's right. Awesome. If you're having fun doing it, that's the best.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yep. No doubt.
I can't wait till you're 50 doing videos of when you meet Chris Collinsworth at a wedding.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing is like life evolves with it. So the content will hopefully evolve and be relatable and funny to people of, you know, that time. So.
Well, yeah, thank you, man. Just make sure you guys come check us out. Joey Molinaro and friends at the Vogue, May 25th, night before Carb Day. Carb Day broadcast is the next day at the Legion by the 500, by the race. I will be hungover.
I was going to say, yeah, thanks for doing that, man.
Yeah.
Dude, you're taking that on.
This is like the busiest weekend of the year for me. I love it every year.
Hell
it's going to
yeah.
be so much fun.
Yes.
So thank you. Come hang out. Is Polizzi going to be there? Is Daly going to be there?
Polizzi is going to be there. I don't think Connor's going to be there, you know. The IndyCar drive. I just did Hinch and Rossi's pod, and they were because I was promoting the show there too. And Rossi slapped me with the. He was like, "Man, that's great. Really happy for you. I can't be there, obviously, but I hope you have a lot of fun." And so, you know, going to try to get some sort of driver presence there, but you know, no promises. But yeah, me, Willie, Ben. I think Clayton Anderson's going to be there.
Hell yeah.
Nice.
So it's just supposed to be a big celebration of Indy, big
That's
celebration of the 500.
Love it.
And we're going to have a great time.
All right. Well, please come hang out. Appreciate you, Joey. Thank you for listening, guys. See you next time.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.